Well, welcome to a new week. Hey, how you doing with those adult sons and daughters of yours? How's the relationship? You know, we talked about this last week. Man, we had some really difficult questions. I mean, down to earth, dealing with real issues from prodigals to a child strained from their faith, to someone choosing a lifestyle that the parents don't agree with, to how do I stay connected with my kids? And we've got questions and comments today on things like money. How do you connect with your kids? What's working in terms of adult relationships? What's the responsibility of a parent with an adult son or daughter? This is a real issue. It's Bloomberg research shows that 45% of people ages 18 to 29 are living at home. It's interesting. According to the survey, the main reason for young people, or young adults rather, returning home was saving money. They can't afford rent. They're trying to get out of debt. They've lost a job. What's interesting, though, is young adults are also embracing their choices. 40% report feeling happy to be living at home. Thanks, Mom. You're doing the cooking and the cleaning. No, I hope not. But why wouldn't they feel good about living at home, right? In fact, 33% said they felt smart for making the choice to live with family, according to the survey, which, by the way, I think is a great thing to do, as long as there's a plan of action that progresses them, helps them progress their life to become independent and on their own. But if they're getting stuck in the basement, that's not a good thing. All right. We're going to get to some great callers today, including yours. Perhaps let's start with Ron in Arizona. Ron, what's your experience with adult children?
Well, I got a stepdaughter that's 25, and we've done paid for school twice, and she dropped out twice, and the money went away, and she went off and had a grandson, and we love him dearly, and he's a lot of fun, but that marriage has fallen to the wayside, and she's come back into the house, and now it seems like we have to live by her rules in our house, and that just really doesn't sit real well.
So she got back into the house because of the grandkids. You felt like you needed to do that?
Well, we let her back in because she had nowhere else to go. She was living with her husband in an apartment that was paid for pretty much by the other grandparents. And when that marriage broke up, you know, she had no place to go. So we brought her back here so she could get herself together. And, you know, we put some rules in place. You know, we told her she's going to have to pay rent and she's going to have to get her job together and all that. But it seems as though she wants to spend way too much time on her social life, and that ranks way too high, even above being a parent, because it seems as though with both of the kids, the parenting is too big a job for them, or they just too big a bother. You know, it's like they're passing a grandchild from grandparent to grandparent, and they're going off and doing their own thing.
Mm. Yeah, Ron, unfortunately, that's always been an issue, but certainly I think more so now than ever for lots of different reasons. Ron, here's what I would say to you. You can't deal with heart issues and decisions she's making, but you can deal, since she's in your home, with behavior. Okay? And the way I would encourage you to approach this, Ron, would be to sit down with this, I think you said it was a stepdaughter, and you and your wife, obviously, she needs to take the lead if this is her daughter. And here's what needs to be said. Listen, we love you. We opened the door to have you be here because you had no place else to go. But we're not running a hotel. This isn't Ron's hotel and grill. Okay? And if you're going to be in this home, there's going to be certain things that we expect, and I'm sure there's some things you expect. And we got to decide if your expectations and ours meet. Because if they don't, you're welcome to leave. You don't have to be here. Okay? And I would draw up a little contract with her, and I'd be very clear what you expect about parenting responsibility, time, money. And if she's not willing to sign that and do it, then she's also welcome not to be there. And of course, the red light goes off. What about the child? And sometimes, and today, we got so many grandparents stepping in, taking care of children, raising children. And I always tell I always tell grandparents there's a point where you've got to step, you got to bend over backwards sometimes to make sure that that child is being provided for and cared for, but not in a way that's going to encourage or allow an irresponsible son or daughter to continue with their negative behavior, bad behavior. Okay. All right. Let's go to Michelle, who's next in Michigan. What do you think about this adult children thing, Michelle?
So we've raised three so far, and we've got our last one graduating high school this year. But with our kids, rules were different depending on what the situation was. We had two that went to college and one that decided college was not their avenue that they were going to pursue. So for our kids in college, they worked and helped pay for their college, but they were on our insurance and we paid for their cell phone bill while they were in college.
Mm-hmm.
We also helped with college, of course. And then once they graduated, they took over their cell phone bill and any other bills that they had. We never took on a credit card for them or anything like that. Now, our youngest son, who chose not to go to college, we drafted a contract with him just like he was a renter. And while our rent was cheaper than him finding an apartment, you know, there was an agreement of how much rent was, what was expected, you know, what he could expect paying that rent, what it covered and what it didn't. Mm. And then what he was expected still to be responsible for around the house, like, he was responsible for his own clothes. He had a refrigerator, so he was responsible. If he wanted something that wasn't in the house, that was his responsibility to buy it. He was more than welcome, you know, to have dinner with us, and we wanted it because we had a mother-in-law apartment, which he lived in, and utilities were covered as part of his rental agreement. But when he wanted a booster for his Wi-Fi, that was his responsibility to pay that bill.
Now, how did that all work? Did it go well?
It did. It went really, really well.
And it's past tense, meaning he's on his own now?
Yes. He saved up money because rent, like I said, with us was cheaper. And he saved up enough money and then he moved out on his own. Because, like, one of our rules was he could not bring a pet into the house. Mm. I already had cats and dogs. I didn't need another one. So when he was ready to move out and wanted his own pets and everything, then he had that money saved up.
Mm-hmm.
And he had was already in used to paying for bills monthly. So it wasn't a hard transition.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Number 9 in the list of the intentionals is find help. Don't go it alone. God calls us into community. He made us to help and be helped by others. If you're one that doesn't like to complain or ask for help, or you grew up in an environment as a pleaser perhaps, where it's hard for you when you're going through a tough time to be honest with people, stop it. Refusing to ask for help when you need help is a, and I say this kindly, is a form of pride. Come on, God made doctors and pastors and friends and books and music and groups and church and family and Christian radio for a reason. And those who live intentionally are willing to ask for help when needed and willing to pay it forward when they don't.
Yeah, boy, that's the truth. Listen, that's an excerpt from the lesson this month. We're talking about the problems that come along with pain and difficulty in our life, but also the purpose, what we can learn from it. And this lesson, we're about the end of the month, is our featured lesson up on our site for members. Those of you who support monthly in the Ministry of Intentional Living, your dollar a day goes a long way to make a difference. Just a target idea, $30 a month. Some give less, some give more. We just want you to be a part of it, part of this team. And we'll make sure you get access to that. What do you need to do is call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717, press number 2, takes you to our staff upstairs. Or you can go online anytime to theintentionallife.com. www.thegrandkids.com. And we certainly appreciate your support.
I have a daughter who's about to turn 18, you know, just a month away, and I was wondering, what are you supposed to make your 18-year-old pay for? She pays for her own car already, but do you make her pay for the insurance? Do you make her pay for the gas? Do you make her buy a portion of the food? Do you make her buy her own clothes? I've asked a few moms, and they all have their own take on it, and I was just wondering what your take is.
And with inflation now, they can buy about a pint of gas. That's about it. Okay. But like you said, Dana, you've talked to every parents, and they all have different ways of handling this. I don't think there's a formula. I think what's more important is knowing your son or daughter, knowing where they're headed and what they're doing, and knowing if they have a job and how much they make. And you're just trying to help them. I know some parents are creative where whatever the child helps pay back that they hold in reserve, and then they give it back to the child, you know, at some point, either a gift or a motivation for a new house, whatever. And so it depends on your own needs. Like you said, we don't necessarily need this, but what's, you know, what's equitable? Every child is different. I think the important thing is that you agree together. You're doing it to encourage the child to become an adult, and in the process, they benefit from it. So that was a non-answer. I know you wanted specifics. You all firstborn want to know exactly what to do. And the fact is, your children are all different. So hopefully that helps. All right, Julia, you've been waiting. Thank you. In Arizona, how are you today?
I'm good, Dr. Randy. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it. Looks like you have a comment for us. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so I was commenting earlier on when you were talking to Joseph, I believe his name was, and they were asking about what can you do to bring your child to Christ.
Yeah, Jacob. That was, yeah, we talked to him last week. Jacob, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's not your job. Your job is to let your children know that God loves them. Just keep telling them that God loves them. You know, pray for them. Let them know that. I'm sorry. They always have a home to come home to, no matter what's going on. And that way they will pray for them. I've watched God work in my life with my daughter that would not hear of it. She's now 19. She's in the military. She wanted nothing to do with God. And I watched her last week, Sunday, gave her life to the Lord.
Amen.
And that's all because I gave it to God. Like, it is not my job, just a reminder. Jesus loves you no matter what. And every morning I send a group text out with scriptures and devotion. And I just leave it there. God took care of it. That's all you can do.
Right.
Love them. Let them know they have a place to come home to always.
And, you know, that's about as simple but straightforward as you get. That's exactly the story of the daddy and the prodigal son story in Scripture that Jesus shared. You know, he was heartbroken because his son rejected the family and his faith and all their values and went off and ended up in the pit with the pigs, right? And yet the daddy didn't close the door. I picture him standing at that door looking out the window every day, praying, thinking, one day he'll come down that path. Happened for you, Julia, last Sunday. Because you just did what God told you to do. Love your daughter, leave the door open, be there for her. You know, when that scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go, they won't depart from it. The way I look at that scripture is it's kind of their unique bent, knowing your child well enough that you're building into their life. But it's also the truth that if you have been raising your kids, sharing the truth, loving them, being consistent, being an example, that stuff is lingering in their hearts and their heads, right? And it comes back someday when they're wondering, why am I living like this? This isn't working. You know, what my mom believes and what's going on back there seems a lot more sensible than what I'm doing. And then you keep praying. And you know what? It may not be in our lifetime that we see that grandson or daughter or whatever come to Christ, but that doesn't mean we don't pray until our last breath that God will move in their life. That's powerful. All right. Thank you, Julia. Appreciate that story. All right, Lori, let's go to Michigan. What's been working for you?
Well, years ago, my husband and I read a book called The Key to Marriage is Communication, mm-hmm. and I found that that really is so key in relationship with your adult children, is keeping the lines of communication open. And sometimes that can be really difficult in this generation because, you know, everybody wants to text and everybody wants to do things through social media. So we found that when we do have conflict, we always ask, you know, can you meet with us? You know, because I think a lot is lost in translation when you're doing texting and when you're doing social media. And then if they're not open to that, you still have a line of communication. You have the line of prayer.
Yeah.
So when they say, no, we don't want to talk about this or whatever it is, then you just go to your knees and you have that line of communication open with the Lord, you know?
So how do you handle it? How do you handle it, Lori, when you have a son or daughter and you see something and you're kind of aware that there's a better decision that they could make because of your own experience, and yet they really aren't interested, and you get on your knees and pray? How do you handle it when you know that beyond prayer, do you get back up and still worry about that stuff?
Well, what we have found has worked is that we have an open door policy. You know, if you need time to process, take the time you need to process, but we're for you. I think adult children need to know in their decision-making years, just like they needed to know when they were younger, that we are for you. And so even if you make decisions that we don't agree with, that's not going to change.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of adult kids sometimes just feel like, you know, they get, they're not sure what direction life should go for them, or they don't know what to do with a certain decision. And so to know that they have somebody in their corner, I think really makes a big difference. And you have to wait till they ask for it. Or I would start a sentence with, can I give you advice? Could I give you advice about something? I don't say this is what I think you should do, because I also read a book, the Ten Commandments for a mother-in-law was keep your mouth shut. Number two was keep your mouth shut. Number three was keep your, and on it went.
There was a theme there, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. So yeah, you know, it's that communication, you know, because you can just, there's so much misunderstanding that can happen. And it's like you get together and you talk and you find out, you know what?
Yeah.
That isn't what I thought, or that's not what I felt at all. You know, so that would be my advice.
I think someone needs to write a book that says the 10 top ways to keep your mouth shut. I get the idea, keep your mouth shut, but how do you do it? You know, bite your tongue. There's one.
You know, they say duct tape is a
duct tape. They're number two. Go for a long walk.
Yeah.
There's number three.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. You're right. It's tough, Lori. I know, because, we love our kids and love our grandkids, because that passes on to grandkids as well. The same way I think about my growing up with my parents. My dad was always offering advice, but he would send me notes and articles and different things, but it was always encouraging. It was always positive. It was never critical. It was always, hey, have you thought about this, or you thought about that? It was his way of processing his help for me. And I read some of them, and some of them I didn't. I guess that's just part of it generationally, isn't it?
It really is. It totally is, you know. But I feel like if they know that you're for them, that advice comes across a lot. You know, it's easier to swallow if they know you're in their corner.
Yeah, you know, that's why that idea of asking for permission before you offer advice is something that can make the medicine go down a little bit easier sometimes. All right, continuing on here, let's go to Arizona. Maria, what have you learned about this on this topic?
So I have a 34-year-old and a 33-year-old, and they're both married. My husband and I have learned to pray, to bring them humbly before God every day, and to keep a humble spirit with our adult children. They're adults now. We've released them. And so to pray for them, to bring them before God, and if they specifically are asking for a specific prayer, pray that. Otherwise, that their hearts will be drawn to God.
So what is it that you pray, if I could ask?
Absolutely. We pray for strength over their marriage. One child has two little girls and is expecting their third is the son. So praying that God would give them wisdom in raising their children, but mostly to strengthen their walk with God and strengthen their marriage and to bless them, to just that God would bless their lives. But most importantly, I know where we are at in our lives, the most important thing is the relationship with God. When you walk with him and do his will, then, you know, all other things, either whether they go right or wrong, he's with you and he will carry you through it, whatever it is.
Let me ask, as a mom, when you're praying for your kids, now they're adult, how old are your children? You're
34 and 33.
Okay, they're not kids anymore. All right, as your young adults, how does it change you in your actual day-to-day relationship with them as a result of you making prayer a priority in that relationship?
Honestly, it's a humbling perspective. So as they make choices in their lives, whether they're good or bad, it makes me step back to say, why would they do that? And then if they're not asking my advice, I think of like, well, you know, I made some choices in my life that probably didn't agree with my parents, and to just support them in it. And so I'm truly learning to just keep my mouth quiet if I'm not asked my opinion. That's kind of one of the biggest things. But just to humbly realize, you know, we're all humans, and the relationship is the most important thing.
Yeah.
I'm blessed that neither one of them are, you know, dysfunctional at this point, thanking God. We could, you know, tomorrow's another day. but thanking God that they're not dysfunctional. They're productive human beings, and they are good human beings, and they pay their bills, and they work, and they're responsible, and, you know, they're not asking us for, you know, they're walking in responsibility. And I was hearing you talk about your dad say that he was very proud of you. We do try to encourage. We could do more of that for sure.
Yeah, that's really important. And of course, that duct tape we talked about always helps too. All right, I got some in the garage. Maybe I need to get it out. All right. You know, we're talking about adult-children relationships. Love your comments on our storyline. You're always welcome to share them at 888-888-1717.
Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health, or peace, or success, or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, when you do that during West Coast business hours, our staff be happy to talk to you. Just press number 2 to send the prompt up to the staff, or you can go online anytime, of course, to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. Look around the site. A lot of helpful information there for you. We love you. Want to encourage you on your journey of living intentionally in Christ every day.
Hello, this is Samantha calling from St. Paul, Minnesota, regarding the prodigal child. I have a 30-year-old son who was raised as a Christian while growing up, but has forsaken things since he graduated from high school and ended up going into the Air Force right after graduation. And he's had some experiences that have been difficult, and for some reason I still don't understand why he has strayed so far. And he believes that God is just so mean and, you know, doesn't deserve our praise. Anyway, just wondering if you can help him understand or what to say to him besides prayer, doing that behind the scenes, wondering if there's anything else you might suggest for me.
Thank you, Samantha. You know, I hear that a lot. Is there anything more I can do than prayer? And I think that I hear that and I understand what you're saying, but let's never discount that prayer is powerful, and that God can use and will use your prayer, and it's good for you, and it's encouraging, and of course, you're fulfilling, I think, a powerful part of our Christian walk is to pray for those in need, including our own family, and pray that God will move in the life of your son. And then on the daily basis, you just continue, I mean, that's the same theme. you're asking why did he wander? Why do we do what we do? Let's face it. We all have, what's that song? We all have a propensity to wander, right? And the reality is Satan is a powerful force, and there's a lot of temptation in the world, and it can be drawn in different directions. And just like the prodigal son that left the home, the dad every day prayed, left the door open. I think that's the biggest thing. I love you, son. I care for you, and I'm here. And beyond that, we cannot play the part of the Holy Spirit in the life of our children. We just can't do it. All right, before we run out of time, let's get to Cindy. I think time for one more. Cindy in Michigan, what have you learned about all this?
Well, you were discussing about how much to buy your kids, or like, for example, when our kids were in high school, we didn't have a lot of extra money, so we told them we would get them where they needed to be, but if they wanted their own vehicle, they had to buy it. They had to work and buy it. Our son's first vehicle, he was determined to have one. He paid $400 for it, and we split the insurance with them if they stayed on the honor roll. Mm. And trust me, we were like some of the meanest parents in the whole wide world.
I imagine.
Because the other kids, their parents were buying them new vehicles and yada, yada. So long story short, our adult children now are 40-ish, and they have thanked us so many times for teaching them to budget and manage your money. So I feel like, you know, it was a good lesson for them.
Yeah, the insurance was more than the whole value of the car.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
$400, you can't even buy a tire for that now.
No. And at the time, we understood that they really wanted, you know, a nice vehicle or whatever. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But we didn't have the money. And, you know, even if we would have had the money, we might have helped them with it. But I think we were more focused on teaching them what a good work ethic will do for you, what you can get out of that money if you're willing to do the work and stuff.
Mm, indeed. I can still remember my older brother, his car, once he started driving, I believe was an American Motors that doesn't even exist any longer, a 1964 American Motors Rambler. Some of you are saying, well, I wish I had that now. It's probably valuable. I don't know. With the push buttons. Anyway, he was really cool driving that, I'll tell you. But good reminder. Let's help our kids grow up. And in the process, we need to be intentional parents. That's why we do what we do here. God loves you. Train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. That means we have a responsibility to train and then eventually release. I'm Dr. Randy. Thank you, team, Amy, Jennifer, and everybody for being a part of the program today. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living from Intentional Life Media.